Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also co-author of Heavy Lifting. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We're scrapping our normal good, bad, and crazy martinis today, as has become a tradition on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and we are discussing the things for which we are politically thankful. I think Jim and I would both say that God has blessed us richly in terms of the families we have and the jobs we have. We are extraordinarily grateful for those things and many other things, our family and friends on a personal level. But this podcast, we're going to be looking at what we are politically thankful for, at least so far in 2015. And Jim, you go first.
My first thing that I'm thankful for is Matt Bevin's victory in Kentucky, the gubernatorial race, not just because I think he's a better option as governor, but let's say he utterly defied all of the polls. All of the polls had the Democrat winning that race, leading quite considerably, and Bevin won in, you know, what people accurately characterize as a near landslide. So I am thankful for the lesson that the polls can be wrong, that we should not put too much faith in them. Votes do count, and sometimes the old saying that, you know, the only poll that matters is the one on election day isn't just a cliche uttered by a candidate who's really down in the polls. I only wish this had caused the networks to alter their structure for the debates, because then both, you know, Bobby Jindal and I would be much, much happier people.
My first thankful martini politically is very much along the same lines. It's a thankfulness for the grassroots, and that certainly played a role in Kentucky. A lot of different events played into Matt Bevin's victory. I think it's a fed up with Washington. It's fed up with the conventional wisdom. I think perhaps the Kim Davis story in some way played into that. But in general, the grassroots just stays with it, keeps pounding, whether it's on Twitter, other ways on social media, jamming the lines on Capitol Hill when big votes come up. And I think when we get to our year-end awards, there's going to be quite a bit of disappointment for the Republican leadership in Congress, given the majorities they have, and we'll obviously get to that in the coming weeks. The grassroots never accepted, well, we can't do that for an answer, whether it was a Cromnibus, whether it was immigration-related debates. John Boehner understands the power of the grassroots right now, and so just never giving up, sticking to conservative principle, and on Election Day, granted, it's an odd numbered year and not a huge number of marquee races, but once again, as we made the good martini the day after Election Day, for the most part, conservative candidates and conservative ideals did very, very well when the American people had a chance to vote on it, and let's hope that continues into 2016.
Greg, I think that's an excellent choice. My second nominee or observation for what I'm thankful for, I'm going to thank Fox Business Channel for giving us one good debate in this cycle. Some people would say the first one on Fox News, the second one on CNN weren't necessarily terrible, if perhaps crowded. I think there's widespread concurrence that the CNBC debate was just an absolute train wreck. It showed that you can be tough. It showed that you can be direct. It showed that you don't have to be needlessly combative. And that ideally, you know, you draw out some policy details from these people and you don't just let them go back to their talking points or their rote stump speeches and things like that. So I am thankful for that. And hopefully the debates to come in the remainder of the year and early next year will be similarly edifying. They will, you know, generate light, not just heat.
Yes, let's certainly hope so. All right, my second thankful martini is for the press on one particular issue, and that's Hillary Clinton's scandals. They could have covered them far less and far less intently than they did. There was a lot of digging after the Clinton cash book came out from Peter Schweizer about the connection between favors between the Clinton-run State Department and the Clinton Foundation. There was a lot of detail on that. Also, the constant digging into the Clinton email, the security of the server and national security information, classified information possibly being compromised, and some of the things coming out in the emails. And obviously, there's an effort to bury that on the left. Had it been a conservative politician, I think the media coverage would have been far more intense. But the fact that you see word clouds now where the top three words for Hillary Clinton are liar and untrustworthy and dishonest, and her favorability ratings and all these things are really in the tank, it's not because people are being unfair towards her. It's because it's just the way she is, and the mainstream media has done a good enough job in some ways to make that clear to the American people that it doesn't appear they're very excited about her at all heading into 2016. We'll see if that level of commitment to the story continues as we get closer to a showdown for the next presidential election. But as of right now, it was better than I expected it to be, and for that I'm thankful.
Greg, I'm going to give you a qualified agreement. For example, like the New York Times wrote about like a lot of stories about this, broke some ground on this, brought up new facts. They've done a great job. And those were A1 stories. They're right there on the front page. I would point out, though, she has not been asked about this in either of the debates so far, has she? I mean, stuff like the donations to the Clinton Foundation.
Yes.
The perception of them being, you know, kind of a pay for play, the idea that you'd make a big donation to the Clinton Foundation and then the State Department would make a decision you liked a little bit later. Kind of the cross-pollination between the Clinton Foundation and State Department, the Clinton Foundation accepting large donations from arms groups, you know, and approving arms deals and stuff like there's more there that she can be asked about. And I kind of wish the press would do more on that, but you're right. Particularly following up on the Schweitzer book, which, you know, proved to be, I didn't see anything really get disproven from that book. Most of the press did a pretty good job with that, but, you know, a little quieter in the last couple of months, and I'd like to see more discussion of that since it, you know, it's not like she really answered any of the questions.
No, totally in agreement on that.
All right, my third choice of what I'm thankful for is going to sound a little bit weird, but I think once I walk you through it, you'll understand. Greg, and look, we are recording this before Thanksgiving, and so it's possible, I'm knocking on wood, something will happen in the interim, but I'm thankful that the Paris attacks weren't worse. I in the days since then, we saw a lot of raids, a lot of bad guys taken off the streets. It's clear there were other plans in the works at the pipeline. People finding suicide belts and French raids and Belgian raids. Clearly here on the U.S. homeland, we are on alert. Somewhere along the line, we just decided we didn't want to fight the war on terror anymore. Or I guess I should say some of our leaders decided they didn't want to fight the war on terror anymore. It became a, what's the acronym? You know, the effort against violent extremism. What the past few weeks made very clear is the threat hasn't gone away. And so I am thankful that we are taking a stronger role on this. I'm thankful all the cops working on Thanksgiving Day and every other day of the year, the intelligence agencies, the military folks deployed, you know, a lot of people are standing watch right now to try to keep us safe. And, you know, the threat is still out there. Hopefully nothing happens this Thanksgiving holiday and Black Friday and days like that. But it could have been much worse. And so I am thankful for everybody who's doing our effort to protect us. And I'm thankful it seems like we've, at least part of the public has woken up to the threat. And we're a little more wary and eyes open as we walk around these days. And I think that's a good place to be.
Good point. Very good point. All right, on to my third thankful martini. And it's a tad self-serving, but it's also, I think, genuine. And that is thankfulness for the three martini lunch in a couple different ways. First of all, this has been a really bad year in a lot of ways politically. We've talked about so many horrible stories, and we've had a lot more bad martinis than good martinis. And the ones that are bad are usually very bad. And one of the things that helps get people through it, and helps certainly get me through it, is the ability to crystallize it in a fairly brief way and to add humor where humor is applicable. And, Jim, you find ways to add humor to some of the darkest stories in a good way, not in a very awkward, disturbed type way, but in a way that helps us go on and keep following the news and not trying to stick our head in an oven or something like that. And at the same time, I also want to thank our listeners. As we reported earlier this year, Newsmax came out with the list of the top 50 conservative podcasts, and we were honored at the Three Martini Lunch to be in the top 25. So it's good to know that folks are interested, that folks are interested in having a good time while they discuss important issues, and we thank our listeners for their loyalty and their support throughout the many years, but especially this year.
Greg, thank you for everything you said there. I think it's a very good way of summarizing it. I can think of no better way than to describe what we do each day than not awkward and not disturbed. There's a philosophy to this daily podcast, and it's that, look, we know the news is bad a lot of days. It's one of the, and some days, you know, a couple of days ago, we talked about having an all bad ones. If everything's bad, we'll tell you, but we'll try to help you get through the day and keep you informed and hopefully make you feel, you know, with a little bit of spring in your step as we leave. Even if we just say, hey, everything's terrible, try not to let any satellites fall from the sky on you or anything like that.
Unless it's
be careful out there, as they used to say on Hill Street Blues.
Unless it's the day Bobby Jindal drops out, in which case there was no hope.
And then it's like hell with us all. Burn the place down.
On that note, everyone, have a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. Have safe travels. Jim, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And we will reconvene for our Black Friday political gifts on Friday.
Same to you, Greg. Take care.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Happy Thanksgiving again, and tune in again on Friday for the next Three Martini Lunch.